So we're returning to our series this week after a wonderful week last week. If you got to be here with us, we were able to hear missions reports from Nicaragua, the pastors and leaders trips from, David and Elma and their trip to the Philippines, and just a wonderful report of how God was able to use them, how God ministered to them and ministered to the people there. Well, this week we are returning to our series called Change Your Channel. And just to refresh your memory a bit, that whole idea of changing your channel is about shifting your posture, your perspective, and your attitude on something. And it's a very intentional thing. It's not something that just happens by osmosis. I was listening to some Joyce Meyer in the car yesterday on the drive back from Calgary, and she said, "Victory doesn't come through osmosis." Amen? It's something that we need to engage in intentionally. We've talked about not making excuses, not allowing the enemy to dictate what is happening internally for us. And the problem is we often get stuck in a mindset and we find ourselves continuously being defeated in a certain area. So we've been addressing some of these areas. The first one we talked about was identity. And we talked about allowing our personal identity to be shaped by God and his unique design of us rather than by other voices, or rather than agreeing with lies from the enemy and things that we've heard from others. The last time in this series we gathered, we talked about obedience, and that comes from placing our trust in God and releasing control, and that opposite of trust is actually control, and that it's time to release areas to him and allow him to have control, and through that we're able to obey and trust. And we gave you a listening response exercise, and I know I probably sound like a broken record, and I'll keep saying it. Pick up that piece of paper, go online and download it from our website, and engage in it. I've been hearing just some wonderful reports. People have been sharing with me one-on-one at just the things that God is saying to them. God wants to speak to you, church, but we need to position ourselves to hear from him. And so often we try to do that in the rush, right? God, speak to me while I do the dishes and run over here and get groceries. And, well, good luck having God speak to you in a large grocery store. He can. He is fully capable of doing it, but I'm assuming it's a little distracting right now. I haven't had to wade into the crush. Have any of you had to wade into the crush yet? All right, good stuff. But we ask God, will you show me one thing that reminds me of why I can trust you? Is there an area of my life that I'm still maintaining control of and not trusting you with? Is there a next step of obedience you want me to take in a certain area of my life? And like I said before, people have been sharing with me one-on-one. We have some things to get through today, so I'm not going to open up the mic this morning. But do share. I love to hear what God is doing in your life. It's a celebration. I love to celebrate with you. Well, today we're going to dig into, I bet your favorite topic. You're going to love me after this one. You're going to send me all kinds of wonderful, kind emails about this topic. I just know it. But as I was pondering this, the catalyst for this topic really came from a hero of mine, Mr. Bean. So I was watching this clip on Facebook that popped up, and I thought, oh my word, that describes relationship perfectly. Now, if you're watching with us online, or if you're listening online with us later, you can press pause, go to YouTube, and look up Mrs. Whistler's picture or painting, Mr. Bean, and you'll find that most of the same clip that we're watching here, I've edited a bit due to language and other things, sadly. But would you go ahead and turn your attention to the big screen, and let's watch this together and think of it through the context of relationship. Oof.
lockdown, with the system we put in here, nothing will touch that painting short of an earthquake. Brings down the whole gallery. Once we've gotten the general safely inside, the key figure security-wise will be Dr. Bean. We've got to protect the painting without getting in the good doctor's way.
Relationships. I know that was a bit painful. Sorry, we've got a new presentation software, so that's not on our team. We're starting to realize our computer needs to be upgraded to match the software. So thanks for hanging with us through that. But isn't that the stuff of relationships? I don't know. That's how I feel sometimes, like a bumbling fool, where I, you know, do something ridiculous, and I try to make it right, and I make more of a mess, and I try to make that right, and I make more of a mess, and so yeah, Mr. Bean is just a great representation sometimes of how we do relationship with one another. Did you enjoy that? Yeah. So every time you see that, you can think of the topic of forgiveness, because we try to correct these things, we end up hurting each other in the process, and sometimes it just creates a big mess. A good friend of mine, our pastor's wife in Surrey, BC, and I think my clicker has decided to, oh, maybe not. We're here. All right. She taught me how to decorate Christmas trees. So I was pretty young at that time and still fumbling my way through to, you know, just really making it nice. I love making a great atmosphere in our home for Christmas and other holidays. And so she took time out as we decorated the church tree to walk me through the proper way to decorate a Christmas tree. Now, to put this in context, she is known there in the church as Mrs. Christmas. So that's Lottie Gardner. You guys know her, Dan and Connie. And she, this is her tree here. So there are rules. There are rules like 100 lights per square foot and how you run them up and down the branch to get them just right. And so I was super stoked as I was going to make this tree look really, really good. And so we began to try and do our trees this way. And this isn't a bad tree, but what I found out is we were buying real trees. So I was trying to apply these wonderful principles to a tree that was a completely different shape. I was trying to run lights up and down each tree branch, but on a real tree, they don't all like come all nicely in uniform because God is a creative God, so he makes every tree unique and different. And so I'd get so frustrated, annoyed, and it's not working, and we'd buy more lights. And then we had the marital color dispute. I don't know if this exists in your house, but we have a dispute between whether they should be clear lights or colored lights. Yeah, see, clear. So for years, I would do my best to make both happen. So then I was running double the lights through our tree, which now we've compromised and it's clear lights. So, but the point of that is that every year it was a different tree and I would try to apply the same principles. And I think the same thing happens often in relationship. So we learn some relationship principles, we learn how to do relationship well with one person, and then we try to carry those principles over into another relationship, and we realize that every person is uniquely created by God, responds differently, has a different personality, and we make a mess of things sometimes. And as a result, either the person we're relating to gets hurt, or we get hurt in the process. Sometimes we pick up pain, sometimes we pick up offense, and sometimes it's unintentional, like in the scenarios I've just described. And sometimes, and this is a tough one to swallow, and I recognize for some of you out here, this is the reality you face, sometimes that's very intentional hurt. But one thing is true, is the need for forgiveness. And forgiveness is more about our own state of being than what's happening with the other person. And this is where you might send me happy emails after the service, because I'm going to continue to emphasize forgiveness is about you. It's actually all on you. It's not on the other party at all. Forgiveness is about you, whether you choose to forgive something or not, someone or not. Unforgiveness only hurts you. There's an illustration I used to use years ago with our preteens where I would hand them all a rock, and they would put the rocks in each other's shoe, or they would slyly sneak it in. And then we would put shoes back on and we would wear them around for the duration of our games and stuff. And the point was that the rock in your shoe isn't hurting the person who put it in your shoe, whether they did it intentionally or unintentionally. It's only hurting you. And some of them would put on the bravado of, oh, I could walk in this all day and whatever. And I showed them a really terrible picture of gangrene and that changed their mind on that. But it's the truth. If we let unforgiveness into an area of our lives and we say, no, it's the other person's responsibility to take the rock out of my shoe and deal with it, eventually we're going to end up with a large festering wound. And so that's where forgiveness becomes our responsibility, and it becomes about us. Colossians 3:13 says, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Now, there's no conditions on this, which is really unfortunate, some of you might think. There's no make allowance for each other's faults if they own up to them and if they come to them and beg at your feet and say how sorry they are that they enjoy colored lights. It says nothing about that, but it's about forgiving, no strings attached. And we have some great examples for us measured out in Scripture. And these ones are unique because in each situation, They were actually able to extend forgiveness and reconciliation at the same time. And we'll get into that more in a few minutes, so that's not always possible. But we have Esau forgiving Jacob. And if you remember, Esau had plenty of reason to be angry. Jacob was sneaky. Jacob stole his birthright. Jacob stole his blessing. Esau was upset. There were years of separation. And then in this meeting here, it says Esau runs to meet Jacob, embraces him, kisses him. Just this wonderful moment of forgiveness. Joseph thrown into a pit by his brothers and left for dead. Plenty of reason to feel unforgiveness and to perhaps hold a grudge. And yet Joseph replies to them, "Don't be afraid of me. Am I God that I can punish you? You intended to harm me, but God meant it for good." And then we have David showing kindness to Saul's family. Now Saul's the guy who tried to kill David many times, chased David into the wilderness. David was there for many, many years as this king hunted for him. And because of his friendship with Jonathan, he shows kindness to Saul's family. So we have these wonderful examples of forgiveness. But one of the things to remember is that unforgiveness is a trap of the enemy. If you're holding on to unforgiveness because you think you have a right to unforgiveness, because you're hurt, because you were lied to, you are agreeing with the enemy of your soul. You are in a trap. You are stuck. And my heart for you this morning is to see you get unstuck from those areas. Unforgiveness keeps us from moving forward in relationships with others and in relationships with the Lord. And we said before, if you're agreeing with the enemy on something, you can't fight and push back against somebody you're agreeing with. And our intent in this season of Battle Ready is to reclaim territory that the enemy has taken from us. And so in order to do that, we need to change our channel in this area of forgiveness. It's time to let go of forgiveness and not believe that lie that it's your best defense against being hurt again. And so often that's why we cling to that. Well, I'm not going to let them hurt me again. I'm not going to let them do that. I'm going to get vengeance. I'm going to get revenge. Oh, just wait. When I distance myself and pull myself back, oh, they're going to feel it. Unfortunately, guess what? They don't. And oftentimes, right, it's our own stuff. Again, forgiveness is all about you. Joyce Meyer says, forgiveness is a choice, not a feeling. You can't wait until you feel it. You need to do it because, like we said, the enemy of your soul would like nothing better for you to stay trapped in a place of unforgiveness. Mark 11:24-25 says, "I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe you've received it, it will be yours. But when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too." So forgiveness is necessary. Forgiveness of others is necessary for our own forgiveness from God. And like we said, forgiveness is our responsibility, with or without an apology. And what's so great about this is it addresses that whole thing. What if you need to forgive somebody who's no longer here with us on earth? Many times that's the case. Many times God brings us to a place where we realize we have really disturbing feelings regarding somebody who's no longer here. And so it becomes our responsibility all the time. Forgiveness is also about allowing God to bring justice. It comes back to that whole thing of yielding control. When we harbor unforgiveness, it's about us hanging on, wanting our way in the situation, wanting it to be done our way, wanting them to respond to us our way. Even when the offense is significant, we are to turn that over to the Lord. Romans 12:19, dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, I will take revenge, I will pay them back, says the Lord. That's a hard one, isn't it? Leave it to the righteous anger of God. How many times have we said in our spirit, but God, you're not doing anything about it, right? In those areas of unforgiveness where we're like, well, yeah, I trust you with this, except you're not doing anything. Wow, That doesn't indicate a real level of trust, does it? So often. So we need to press into this idea that we can trust the Lord, we can yield to him even in this area. Forgiveness isn't saying that what the other person did was okay. I know there was years ago when we raised our kids, you know, somebody offended them or did something wrong, we would get them to go and say, it's okay. And now new schools of thoughts, we're beginning to understand that actually that's not a real great response to teach your kids, because sometimes it's not okay, right? And so we began to teach our kids to say, I forgive you, and have a different response. So forgiveness isn't saying that what the other person did was okay. It's not even forgetting. You can be deeply hurt and extend forgiveness and still remember what happened, but the difference is it doesn't chew away at you. It doesn't eat at your soul. It doesn't become this presence in your life, because it really does become like this other entity, like this picture says, somebody living rent-free in your head. It isn't holding the offense over the other person and bringing it up constantly. Hello, married people, right? It's like, oh, you mean forgiveness means actually letting that go and not reminding them again and again of this area where I was hurt. Matthew 18:21. And then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to 7 times, Jesus answered. I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. Forgiveness is an ongoing process. One of the things I've discovered when there's people in my life that I need to forgive, and there are, that God brings it up again and again. And that it's almost baby steps, really. It's I take a step, I extend a measure of forgiveness, God brings peace in my heart, and then maybe a year or so down the road, I find myself picking that up again, or maybe pondering it again, or thinking it through, and maybe there's something in my world that has happened that's reminded me of that offense. And I believe that's why God says in Scripture, 70 times 7, because you know what? You're going to do it once, but because you're human, because of sin nature, because of some of those things, there's a chance you're going to pick that back up. So do it again, do it again, do it again. And the matter may not be able to be settled between you and somebody else, but the point of forgiveness is to settle it in you. And forgiveness is not reconciliation. That is a whole other piece of the puzzle. And reconciliation is about restoring a broken relationship, and it requires participation on the part of the offender. It's pretty hard to reconcile if only one person wants to do that. And forgiveness is always about you. I'm going to say that probably like a million times. Well, maybe not a million. Forgive me. That was an exaggeration. I'm going to say it about 5 times. It's about the state of our hearts, this whole area of forgiveness. And sometimes, and we're going to go here, it isn't about putting yourself back in an unsafe place. So sometimes reconciliation isn't possible. And sometimes we use that to excuse our need to forgive. We say, well, I can't forgive them. They don't want to reconcile. It's done. No, we forgive, because forgiveness is about us, you. Yeah, that's right, me. It's not about putting ourselves back in an unsafe place. So let's say, who am I going to pick on here this morning? Okay, Tara Lee. Let's say Tara Lee trips me, right? Really? All right. So Tara Lee trips me. I go, Tara Lee, what was that about? And she goes, oh, I'm so sorry. I won't do that again. I'm so sorry. I'm like, okay, well, you know, this is weird for Tara Lee to do that. So I'm just going to trust her, and we're going to go back there again. Then 2 days later, she trips me again. Tara Lee, this is terrible. And again, she comes and issues this wonderful apology. And this time, there may even be some tears involved, just to, you know, really pull at those heartstrings about how sincere she is and how much she's changed. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to trust you, Tara Lee. Then, not even 2 days later, this time only a day later, she trips me again. At this point, she may say, will you forgive me? And I may say, yes, I forgive you. But am I going to put myself in a place where she is going to be allowed to trip me again? And so it's important that that's really clear to us, because sometimes, for some of you, forgiveness is about forgiving an abuser. And forgiveness, you may even be in a situation that's not entirely safe for you right now. And it's okay to say, I'm going to forgive that person. I'm going to deal with the state of my soul in the matter, but I'm not going to put myself in a place where I can be hurt again. I can set some boundaries around this. And the same is true with that whole thing of reconciliation. It takes two parties. So that's why forgiveness is about us. Reconciliation involves the other party. And if that person refuses to reconcile, you still have a responsibility to forgive. Unforgiveness is like a stuck vehicle. You just keep spinning the wheels and spinning the wheels. You get deeper and deeper and deeper until you're completely mired down. And it's wonderful that God gives us this amazing leverage to pull us out of that pit and to be able to forgive. And we're going to talk more about that in just a moment. But how do we change our channel on the area of forgiveness? Well, we keep coming back to this prayer. Our posture in regards to forgiveness is to begin to deal with areas of unforgiveness in our life. And prayer is how we fight our battles. Here's a sign that you might have somebody that you need to forgive. Outbursts of anger. You keep trying to make the other person understand your feelings. You hold them responsible for how you feel and your response, the blame game. You keep a list of how they've wronged you. You replay the scene over and over. You gossip about the person who hurt you. You complain or have a martyr syndrome about it all. You alienate, divide, separate, withdraw. Or you get upset when that person does well. Some of you may recognize that feeling. Oh, that person just got a promotion. Oh, it ticks me off. You should hear what they did to me, right? We've all been there, honestly, I know. So how do we forgive? We choose. It's a choice. It's not a feeling. So we choose and we bring it before the Lord. And we pray for those who've wronged us. The Bible talks about praying for our enemy. That's a really, really good one and a hard one to do. Been there, done that, doing that, all of those things. But we pray for those who have wronged us. And as we do, God changes our internal temperature to see things through his eyes and his perspective. Sometimes it means confessing to that person, perhaps, or if that person is not a safe person, to a trusted friend or spiritual leader that we're struggling. I'm really struggling to forgive this person. James 5:16, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Unforgiveness is a sin. It is something we are commanded to do in the Word of God, to forgive. No strings attached. And so that confession with somebody else is not about hashing out all the things the other person did, but it's about saying, will you pray with me and help me through this because I'm really struggling. And it's okay to be able to share with that person, here's why I'm struggling. But the point is to come together in prayer so that you might be healed. Unforgiveness is a wound in your soul that God needs to bring and apply as healing balm to you and just be able to soothe that. And we choose to forgive until our heart is changed to that for that person, so that no bitterness, no resentment, no need to bring up the offense, no ducking behind the produce section in Superstore when you see them, no need for any of those things, but able to say, you know what, there is peace in my heart, I've dealt with this, I'm okay. And if applicable, if it's safe or it's possible, we pursue reconciliation, the restoring of the relationship. So once again, and I'm going to give these to Ed just so he doesn't forget to hand them out for me at the end of the service because I forget. We'll just keep them for a moment. Three questions for this week. Choose one, choose all of them. Set aside some time with the Lord. Grab a piece of paper and a pen. Write it down. The question, God, is there anyone I have not yet forgiven? What is one thing I can do today to release that to you? We've talked about the fact that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. So when you come to God, it's okay to say, can you give me one thing? What is the next step? Not, can you give me all the people I need to forgive and all the, wow, overwhelming, right? God will tell you. He'll tell you in his timing. He'll reveal step by step. Second question, God, is there something I need to confess to another person in the area of unforgiveness so they can agree with me in prayer? How would you like me to do that? Who is something you think I could do that with? And he'll answer you. Might take some time. We've been chatting, some of us, as we've been walking through these exercises. Some people are like, well, I didn't hear anything for 2 days. But then, I love the but then. And I've had those moments, too, where I've literally written down in this conversation, God, dot, 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 and wait, and wait, and wait. And then eventually it's like, oh, I'm going back to that conversation, and there's the answer. Third question. God, are there any unhealthy things that have been planted in my life because of unforgiveness? What can I do to overcome them? We're going to go before the Lord about this in the coming week. But before we do, what I want to remind you of today is the preciousness of the forgiveness measured to us by Jesus. The woman caught in adultery. The Pharisees were demanding an answer, so Jesus stood up again and said, all right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone. Then he stooped down again and wrote in the dust. And when the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. Then Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? No, Lord, she said. And Jesus said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. 1 Timothy 1, 15 and 16. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. We measure out our forgiveness because we have been forgiven, and we've been forgiven of so, so very much. Who can we possibly throw a stone at? I love Joseph's word, am I God that I should punish you? We are forgiven. We forgive others, and we show an example to others who don't yet know the Lord of Christ's forgiveness available to them. So today I'm going to invite the worship team to come, and I want to encourage you, would you stand with me, and we're just going to invite just a response between you and the Lord today. But I do want to say this, sin is not limited to unforgiveness. Sin is anywhere we've missed the mark and disobeyed God, choosing to do things our way and living apart from him. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of God's glory. And the good news is that Jesus offers us forgiveness, like we said, through his son Jesus' death on the cross. He paid the penalty we deserved for sin. And his death and the new life that's offered through his resurrection from the dead was necessary to restore that relationship between us and God. I love where it says in Ephesians, but God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by grace that you have been saved. Saved from the penalty we deserve, an eternity separated from God in hell. However, God isn't willing that any should perish, and those who choose to yield their lives to God experience a fresh start, forgiveness of sins, God's constant presence in our lives here on earth, and everlasting life in heaven with him. So there's two pieces of this today. So first, would you just bow your heads with me and close your eyes? And if you're here this morning, and you would say, I have not yet established a relationship with Jesus. I've not allowed him to have control of my life. I've not allowed him to forgive my sins and give me a fresh start. And you'd like to make that decision today. I'd love to pray with you. You don't need to come forward. I'm just going to ask you to put up your hand right where you are, and I would like to agree with you in prayer. Is there anyone like that here this morning? All right. Second piece of this. Forgiveness. It's a tough one. Would you just take a moment and wait on the Lord and say, Lord, is there anyone that you're highlighting for me? Is there any lack of peace in my heart because of unforgiveness? And just allow him to speak to you. In your own words, would you just offer that up to the Lord in prayer? and invite him into that place in your heart and say, God, would you just clean that up? Would you help me work through this and offer forgiveness where I've been hurt? You're the great healer. Lord, you come to heal the brokenhearted and bind up our wounds, and that includes areas where we've been hurt. And God, relationships are messy, and there's a chance we are going to be hurt in them, whether intentionally or unintentionally. So God, I pray that you would deal with unforgiveness in our hearts. Lord, that you would give us the courage to make choices to forgive others, Lord God. Lord, that we would come to you again and again, that not just a one-time thing, but 70 times seven, Lord, we would bring it to you as often as needed to allow your peace to penetrate our spirit. Lord, I pray for those who have been severely wounded through that. Lord, would you bind up those wounds in the name of Jesus? God, would you keep people safe, Lord God? Lord, I pray that you would make paths of reconciliation where that is possible, Lord God, where relationship can be restored. But most of all, Lord, we want to deal with the state of our own spirits and our own hearts. Lord, we want to change our channel and become more like you in every area. Lord, guide us in this week. Lord, direct us as we spend time with you meditating on this. And Lord, we just give you control over this area of our lives in your name. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to close with a song today that really doesn't have a lot to do with this particular topic, but it's one that the Lord laid on my heart in terms of world events. And I think it's a declaration that we as a church need to express together and remember as we leave. The Lord is on your side. The Lord is with you. His presence is with you. He is going to move you forward in these areas and change your channel, and it's going to be wonderful, and we're going to be able to celebrate together what he's doing in you.